Well, let me add my welcome to that of Mark's. I'm Jerry Taylor, the vicar of Enderby with Lubberstorpe and Thurlaston. We've just heard read from the Bible, Psalms 123 and 124. We're going to focus in now for these next few moments on Psalm 123, so the first of those, Psalm 123. You might find it helpful to follow along in your Bible at home or by calling up Psalm 123 on your screen or on an app of some sort. Just search Psalm 123 Bible Gateway or something like that and you'll have it there for you. Well, let me pray as we begin. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come now to your written word and as we hear the spoken word, most of all, Lord, we pray that the eyes of our hearts will be lifted up to the eternal word, our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, he was eye-poppingly handsome. No surprise, he was about 6'2", well-built with glasses. No, he was eye-poppingly handsome. He had more admirers than anyone else that you could imagine. He was physically magnificent. But no one had as yet captured his affections. That is until one day, after a hard day's hunting in the forest, he flopped down by a clear pool. And as he did so, he saw the object of his desire. Recognising his own reflection, he gazed enraptured, hour after hour. Quite unable to tear himself away from such loveliness staring back at him. And he gazed and he gazed. Here at last was someone worthy of his affections. And he stayed there, looking at himself, pining away. Until eventually he died there, his head still hanging over the pool. Well, that's the mythological story of Narcissus. And it might sound ridiculous, but it isn't entirely mythological, is it? It's not entirely mythological. When life throws up all manner of questions and problems and challenges, we're told by the world, if you want to find the solutions to those problems, look within you. Look in the mirror. Our goal as a race, humanity, seems to be at the moment to look at ourselves to find the answers. And deep within, we'll find the resources that we need to cope with a pandemic or anything else in life. It's not new. Martin Luther, back in the 16th century, he defined it like this. He said, the essence of sin is man turned in on himself. And you know, in every age of humanity, really it's just bright new packaging that gets put on a very old lie, is this? Whether it's narcissism, whether it's Luther. Here it is, Satan cornering Eve in the garden. Do you remember? Eat this, you will be like God. And we swallow the lie. We say, yes, please. Yes, please. We'll look to ourselves for fulfillment and for freedom, for strength to cope with the everyday. Anything but faith in Christ. That's what the world says to us. And Psalm 123, it exposes that old lie. It exposes the truth that we've swallowed it whole, and then it overturns it. And I can tell you it's been painful medicine for me this week, but it has been medicine to make me spiritually healthier, a fraction less likely to gaze at my own reflection this week than I was last week. Listen to verse 1. I lift my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. You look at the title of the psalm. It says, a song of ascents. It's the same title that's given to all the psalms between Psalm 120 and 134. We've begun to look at some of them these past weeks. written originally to encourage pilgrims who were making their way towards Jerusalem, at one time the earthly city where God was said to dwell, where his presence was. But now, mentioning the throne in heaven reminds us that we are in between times, between Jesus' ascension to the throne of heaven and his return to earth on Judgment Day. Jesus Christ, of course, made the ultimate pilgrim's journey to Jerusalem as the despised and rejected one to die and to rise for us. And then his work finished. Jesus, our Lord, our love, the very meaning of our lives, has been lifted up from the earth in honour and has sat down on the throne of heaven, the throne of the universe. Look ahead just a little. It might be on the same page in your Bible to the opening of another of this group of Psalms, Psalm 126. We'll get to look at it in a couple of weeks' time, God willing. But just listen for now to the first couple of lines of Psalm 126. It says, when the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like the men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. Well, no longer does Zion, another name for Jerusalem, refer to an earthly city in the Middle East. It refers to the heavenly city, the eternal dwelling place of God. Jerusalem in the Middle East, in those days, just a little picture, a shadow of what was to come. And this Psalm 126 is a prophecy of Jesus' ascension, the Lord Jesus ascending himself to the heavenly city of Zion, gone to heaven as victor, Christ triumphant, leading sin and death and hell and Satan in his wake as captives, captives at his feet. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. With our Lord Jesus Christ there in heaven, how would he have us live here now? And that's what Psalm 123 addresses. One place to look and then one thing to wait for. A place to look and a thing to wait for. So point one of two, here's where to look. Look to heaven. Look to heaven. Let me read verses 1 and 2, because that's where this point comes from. This point, look to heaven, verses 1 and 2. Notice what words I emphasise as I read verses 1 and 2 of Psalm 123. I lift my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. As the eyes of slaves look to the hand of their master, as the eyes of a maid look to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God till he shows us his mercy. Couldn't really help noticing, could you? Eyes look, eyes look. Look where? Here's where the psalm cuts across Narcissus. Does it say, look deep within yourself? Into your heart for the strength you need? No, no, no. It says instead, verse 1, I lift my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. Look to heaven. And friends, today it's that look that makes all the difference. Whether it's cancer or coronavirus, whether it's career or it's your children, whether it's just finding the strength you need to cope with another day of everyone getting under your feet and being inside your head, where are you going to look? Where the hurricane hits? Down here to your heart or up to heaven? We look to heaven. Why? Verse 2. Because that's where our master is. Don't look within, look to him. Christians are not into self-esteem as much as we're into Christ-esteem. A definition of a Christian is someone who revels in their humility. The Apostle Paul, remember, gladly called himself a slave of Jesus Christ, his master. Jesus Christ, my master. And when tough times come, and they have come, haven't they, for some, it's not chin up, but it's eyes up to heaven, to Christ, to our Lord, who is on the throne of heaven. Look to heaven. Now, you know, if you're a regular, that I'm not much of a doggy person. I've already mentioned Martin Luther once today. He had a puppy, apparently, who at mealtimes, maybe like your dog, would sit under the table, eyes looking up to him and not leaving him. And reflecting on his puppy's fixation on him, his master eating at the table, Luther wrote this. He said, "If only I could pray the way that my dog watches meat." All his thoughts are concentrated on the piece of meat. Otherwise, he has no thought, wish, or hope. If only our eyes could so look to the Lord, our God. When you've had a bad day, where do you look? Where do you look? I will look almost anywhere but up to heaven. It might be a book. It might be a film. In my case, it's most likely to be lots of chocolate, comfort eating. But I ask you, as I ask myself, when did you last take a comfort look to heaven? The problem is I don't feel like I need to do that. I don't feel dependent on God most of the time. My heart deceives me and I continually look within instead of looking to him, while all the time I have a master, one who sits on the throne of the universe, who's in charge, who's in control. I work and I stress and I stress and I work, but what will that accomplish unless he allows it? I won't even have enough breath to finish this message for you unless he allows it. But he wills me to look to heaven, to look and pray in dependence on my master. Maybe the reason that we don't look to heaven, why our first thought isn't to pray, is because we do the narcissist thing. We take a good look at ourselves and our heart. We don't like what we see. We see the sin and the selfishness that's there, and we think, well, what hope do I have of access to a holy God? But look what you find when you look to heaven. Look at the text, verse 2. He shows us his mercy. He shows us his mercy. That is something to hold on to, isn't it? For every look within, take a thousand looks at him. So our eyes look to the Lord our God till, verse 2, he shows us his mercy. This psalm tells us to do exactly the opposite of what Narcissus did. Cock a snook at Satan. Don't look in the mirror. Don't keep staring at your own reflection. That's ultimately the way to drop down dead, like Narcissus did. Still looking at ourselves, still depending on ourselves, still adoring ourselves. But instead, look and look and look to heaven, to the Lord our God, to Christ, to what that puppy did for his master. Do what Narcissus did, gaze, but in an upward direction. And don't just look at Christ as if a glance will do, but keep looking steadily, adoringly. Gaze at Christ. Look long enough for Jesus to be your longing and your desire, the one on whom your heart sets its affections. You know, I think it's tempting to think that faith is looking to self and seeing how much faith I've got today. No. Faith is simply looking to Jesus. That's all the faith you need. Start every day, respond to every circumstance, react to every sorrow with a prayer that starts like verse 1 starts. I lift my eyes to you whose throne is in heaven. You are the Lord Jesus Christ, my master. You have the words of eternal life. You know what, Jesus? I know you're big enough to look after my day today. It rebukes us in one sense, doesn't it? But doesn't it also reassure us every time I say this, that my prayer life is what reveals how much I actually trust the Lord Jesus and depend on him and know his mercy in the teeth of my sin and my weakness. If I dig around my heart for strength, I'll just scrape the bottom of it out. Don't look in the mirror. Look to heaven. Look to Jesus. There's where to look. Well, I promised you at point two of two, there's also one thing to wait for. And here it is. Wait for mercy. That's our second point. Look to heaven, the first. Here's the second. Wait for mercy. And this is verses 3 and 4. Let me read them. Verse 3. Have mercy on us, O Lord. Have mercy on us. For we have endured much contempt. We have endured much ridicule from the proud, much contempt from the arrogant. You know, friends, if you look to heaven, you will suffer much at the hands of mirror lovers, of the narcissists. Contempt and ridicule will be your lot when your master is not yourself, but Jesus Christ, and you live for him and take a stand for him. Friendships will be on the line. Job prospects may come on the line. You'll get those pitying glances of friends or family who just despair at you for all of your Jesus nonsense. But the saddest thing I found is that sometimes the patronising pat on the shoulder, the there, it isn't from the world so much as from within the church. And it says, verse 3 and 4, we've endured much ridicule, much contempt. That sense of we've had our fill of it. Christians sometimes are accused, aren't they, of ramming Christ down people's throats. Well, no, here the focus is on the world ramming its contempt and its ridicule down Christians' throats. Even sometimes it comes from within the church. If you've had your fill of contempt, of ridicule, maybe it's very close to home, this. Maybe it happens in the office or on the shop floor. Maybe even from other churchgoers who think you need to tone the Jesus stuff down. It's very tempting, isn't it, to change things, to accommodate. Maybe I could just, I don't know, grow out of some of my beliefs, my convictions. Maybe my dependence on Jesus is a little bit childish for the modern world. Maybe if I tweak the message just a little bit, make it sound a little bit more what they're saying, things will become a little bit easier for me. I'll get a little bit less in the ear. Maybe if I tone down the Jesus bit, especially the sin bit, down a notch, I'll even persuade them to be interested in church. After all, we want to be relevant, don't we? Is that how we should respond? Really? Why look up to those who look down on you and on Christ and his church? Don't look up to them. Remember, look to heaven. Don't be satisfied to be fed with the rubbish that we're stuffed with of contempt and ridicule. And don't try and feed yourself either. That's the mirror again, isn't it? Why would we want to do either of those things when we find everything we need, the hope and the help, in our master's hand? His mercy. Christ is our only hope and our only help. Without him, we're lost. Look to heaven, wait for his mercy. You know, these long lockdown days have persuaded me that the Church of Jesus Christ is so often a flurry of activity. A flurry of activity. What can we do to help X? What can we do to keep Y connected? If only Z was confident on Zoom, we could do fill that with something busy. But let God's word convict you today, as it's been convicting me this week. Here's the one thing we can do. Here's the most important thing that we can do. Pray for mercy. Wait for mercy by looking to heaven and praying for it. Pray for the Lord to have mercy on us, his church. Pray for the Lord to revive and restore his church. Pray that contempt and ridicule for Christ and his people would be replaced by millions and millions of people flocking to Jesus. He is merciful. In a time of uncertainty, fear, anxiety, he is merciful. You'll find Jesus most precious when you look to heaven where he is. Look to him. Find him. Know him to be your merciful, life-giving rock in the desert. One commentator I read puts it like this, says, when pilgrims from the world's contempt lift their eyes to behold the one who rules the world, they find grace that overcomes the world. I think grace, the Lord's favour, is probably an even better translation here than mercy. It kind of goes with that blessing that we've talked about in Numbers 6. As we look to heaven, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. That's the sense here. Look to heaven. Pray, wait for mercy. Well, as I finish, as I bring this together, we know ultimately that mercy will be fully and finally shown when the Lord Jesus Christ, our Master, returns from his throne in heaven to vindicate his people, to bring justice to the earth. Then we won't have to endure the contempt and ridicule of mirror lovers anymore. And so we wait on the Lord. We look to heaven and wait for his mercy when he comes. Is that your hungry hope today? I pray that it is, because please note verse 4, how those who are not looking to heaven and waiting for mercy are described, proud and arrogant, self-sufficient, mirror lovers, a comfortable ease with the world around them, feeling no need to look to heaven, to depend on Christ, to wait for mercy, for Jesus Christ to return and rescue. The very opposite of humble, dependent faith that waits for mercy. In short, if we put those 2 points from today together, from Psalm 123, if we're not waiting for mercy, we're not looking to heaven. And that is treason, because the Lord Jesus is on the throne in heaven. He's the king. And if you are proudly refusing to look to him in dependence, then you are a rebel against the king. Psalm 31 says, the Lord preserves the faithful, but the proud he pays back in full. The proud who do not look to Christ for his mercy will be judged, will be paid back in hell for their arrogant independence, for their mirror gazing. I plead with you, if that's you today, look to heaven, cry for mercy from Christ. And if you are looking at Christ today, however weakly, however imperfectly, so long as it's Christ that you're looking to, don't despair. You belong to him. He sits on the throne of the universe. He will speed his mercy. So look to heaven. Wait for mercy. Pray for it. Let's pray now. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you are the ascended King. You have won a great victory. We pray that we would, in all circumstances, look to heaven. Look to you, our Saviour and Lord Jesus Christ, and wait for mercy. Ultimately, to wait for the mercy that you bring when you return and bring justice to the earth. And in this time of in between, of being a pilgrim between your ascension and your return, help us to humbly fix our eyes on you in dependent prayer and to long for you, our desire. May you be the focus of our gaze, the joy and desire and longing of our hearts, we pray in your precious name. Amen. Well, just to say, if you've been visiting today, rather than a regular member of our church families here, you are very welcome indeed. Our church buildings may be locked, but the word of God is not changed, and church is still very much carrying on. And at the end of our service today, our contact information will be displayed. It'll give details of our online presence especially. Do check back regularly for news of services and times of prayer and special events. But we're going to close by singing again now. Let's praise God for his grace and favour as we sing, "Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven."